We've entitled this Our Enduring Faith. And we've been looking forward to this day and pray it will bring a blessing to us all. Every other Sunday, we read the morning resolve, which ends with a statement, I shall neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit, because faith can firmly trust Him, come what may. And Brother Darcy mentioned that providences in our lives. We appreciate the Lord's providences in our lives, and that's a precious thing to us. Are we having or have we had experiences in our lives which have been or are a test of our faith? Have we found ourselves saying, I wonder why the Lord is giving me this experience? And it may not be me personally, but maybe those close to me, be it family, friends, or brethren. Sometimes we may not realize the reason until many years are past, but in most cases, we can see that the Lord's providence in the matter and see that to be a test of our faith and character. How much do we trust the Lord to see that He would not permit the precious gold of our character to be destroyed? How many times have you found yourselves comforted by the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:13? There is no temptation or trial taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tried above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation or trial also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. As we have experiences that are common to the remainder of the world, yet there is something most precious in their effects upon us. Unlike the world, those not in a covenant relationship, each trial is given to us for our upbuilding, our growth in character, and the character likeness of His beloved Son. Here we have the assurance that the Heavenly Father is directing all the issues of our lives. How else will we reason that He is faithful and will not let you be tempted above or given a trial which you are not able to bear? Faith is an important element, not only of God's character, but essential and vital to our character. Peter tells us of the trials of our faith that are kept, that we are kept, personally cared for through the power of God, through agencies both visible and invisible to us. He tells us that our trials are more precious than gold. 1 Peter 1:3-9. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though ye now see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let me repeat that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And you recall in the June 4th manna concerning our faith, quote, it is your faith that is in trial now. In the calmer days when the sun of favor shone brightly upon you, you were quietly laying the foundation of a knowledge of the truth and rearing the superstructure of Christian character. Now you are in the furnace to be proved. Summon therefore all your courage, fortify your patience, nerve yourself to endurance. Hold fast to your hope. Call to mind the promises. They're still yours. And cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, and faith has gained her victory. Unquote. What is our faith? Is it something we're born with? Some may be inclined to say yes, but is this so? Webster defines faith as, quote, belief or trust in God, revelation of the like, fidelity to one's promises or allegiance to duty or a person. That which is believed, especially a system of religious beliefs, and complete confidence, especially in someone or something open to question or suspicion. Unquote. Now, does that sound like something you're born with? No, it's something that's developed and strengthened with age. Yes, we may say that we have the proclivity to have faith through our heredity from our parents, as did Timothy through his grandmother, as given in 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. But as the pastor tells us, it was the influence that Timothy received through his parents and grandparents. Strange to say that it was his mother and grandmother. And so it appears that the female of our species seems to be inclined to have more of this quality of character. But as we see, it is faith which first appears in our character with perception and knowledge. It is this which brings us to a realization that there is a Heavenly Father, and that He must have a plan. We are told what the essence of faith is by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can we see the Heavenly Father? No. But we can see the evidence of His creation all around us. In Psalm 19:1-3, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And our Lord expressed the beauty of nature in simple but complex flower, when closely viewed, and likened it to our faith, when He says in Matthew 6:28-30, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Our faith is vital, a vital element of our character, if we would be of the overcoming nature for which we are told by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Faith is a foundation of Christian character. It is through this element of faith that we have any standing with the Heavenly Father. We read in Romans, the 4th chapter and the 5th chapter, the end. But for us also, to whom it, that is righteousness, shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Here we see that belief not only in the Heavenly Father is required through faith, but belief that he raised up his only begotten Son for our justification. The imputed righteousness of Christ is an absolute necessity for our standing and consecration unto the precious relationship we share in Christ. Faith is the basis of our justification. And although faith is defined as a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, yet it is an element of character which some can exhibit without the begettal of the Spirit. Indeed, it is required before we can even approach unto God. However, after the begettal of the Spirit, faith must grow and nurture as a fruit, developed, tried, tested. In 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Partially quoting from reprint 1720, entitled The Power of Faith, the pastor tells us, the faith is the only power that can sufficiently energize our being and nerve to patient endurance of tribulation to the end of our life. Faith is the victory which under all conditions will look up to the Lord with absolute confidence in his goodness and faithfulness and realize that all things will work together for our good as new creatures. Our faith must be well founded in the word of our Heavenly Father, which must be examined, proved, and deeply rooted in the heart as well as in the head. Faith is the energizing power of our whole being, being both the outward conduct and the inward thought into subjection to Christ. Faith is not merely belief or knowledge, but knowledge applied, assimilated, appropriated, made part of our habit of thought, a basis for our actions, and a spur to all our energies, a mere intellectual assent of the truth, which does not lead to activity in the service of the Lord, is not faith, and cannot overcome the world, nor secure the prize of our high calling. Well, these words are compelling. Faith is essential to our existence to the end of our trial period. Our life depends on it. Faith is comprised of two parts, the head and the heart. It is the intellectual understanding and the heart reliance upon that understanding. And this is expressed by the Apostle Paul in Romans 10:6-10. But righteousness, that is justification, which is by faith, speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved or delivered. For the heart of man, for with the heart man believeth, or have faith, unto righteousness or justification, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession with the mouth is the outward evidence of faith in the heart. Not only do we need an intellectual understanding, but it must extend to our heart and is evidenced by in our confession or our witness to others of the joy of the truth that we have found. And don't we find this a blessing not only to ourselves, but to those we tell of these good tidings, whether or not they accept the message. No doubt they will remember when their day of visitation comes. We must retain both elements of our faith, the head and the heart, if we are to endure to the end of our walk. We should expect that our faith will be severely tested along both lines. Not only our belief in the Heavenly Father and the redemption of all through the gift of His Son, but also tests as to the precious promises of our Father, which are given to sustain us in our course. We must claim them as our own. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And skipping down to the 10th verse, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, that is, trust in the precious promises, and faithfully develop the fruits of the Spirit, you shall never fall. In reprint 26:42, we read about these promises. The pastor says, quote, each should cultivate faith in his own heart, by refreshing his memory continually with the divine promises, becoming very familiar with these in the Father's Word, and he should seek more and more to remember that having made his covenant with the Lord, these promises are his. And in his heart and with his lips, he should claim them as before the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving. He should claim them as his and his own thoughts and in his conferences on holy things with the brethren. When trials or difficulties or perplexities arise, he should think of these promises, remembering that they belong to him, because God has promised them to such as love him, who have made a covenant by self-sacrifice. Our faith will be tested. In fact, our Heavenly Father not only permits, but desires our faith to be tested, sometimes severely tested. Yet a tried and true faith is very precious in the sight of the Lord, more precious than that of gold, as we read before. The trial of your faith be much more precious than gold that perisheth, though be tried with fire. May you be found in praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Every time we pass through a trial and retain not only our truth, but our confidence in our Heavenly Father, and our heart reliance on his promises in our darkest valleys as well as in our mountaintops, we retain our integrity of heart and purpose, retain our zeal for the truth and righteousness, then our characters have grown stronger, more balanced, more Christ-like, and hence more pleasing to the Heavenly Father. In 1 Peter 4:12 and 13, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. And in James 1, 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials, knowing that this, the trying of your faith, worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Do we have hard trials of health, experiences? Are we pressed with temptations or trials to doubt the Lord's care over us or those dear to us? Do we experience discouragements, reproaches of the world or the adversary, weaknesses of the flesh? Do trials seem to crush us, Then is when we can let our faith claim the promises and the victory. We are told in 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. And in Malachi 3:2-3, but who may abide the day of His coming? And who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap, and He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto God, the Lord, a righteous offering in righteousness. Trials are for a special purpose, to refine and purify us to be pleasing and conformable in the character to that of our Master. But remember, the Lord is controlling all these experiences to the extent that the finished product is His perfect reflection. In Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. As Israel was delivered through the Red Sea and from what seemed to be sure death, the hand of Pharaoh, so when we seem to be overwhelmed with afflictions, disappointments, perplexity, trouble, through the school of experience, truly realize that as the Lord was with Moses and the entire nation of Israel, our Lord will be with us, consoling our hearts with His grace. We have nothing to fear, for we are compassed about with His presence and approval. In all these troubles, the new creature will not be hurt, for we can trust Him thoroughly. In Proverbs 3:5-6, trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And again in Isaiah 26:3-4, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And again in Psalm 37:4-5, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And in Proverbs 3:3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. In Ephesians we read of faith, and that is the gift of God. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. Well, how do we understand this scripture? Some believe that our faith is not our own, but a gift of God, through a misapplication of this text. The proper understanding is that the salvation is of God's grace, and not of any merit of our own that is offered to us. Even though salvation is a reward of our faith, we cannot say that our faith merited it. For our faith is a result of divine providence. We have been favored with light, intelligence, and knowledge as a basis for our faith. Therefore, we are to be thankful to the Heavenly Father for the circumstances and conditions which made it possible for us to exercise faith. For it is by and through His grace. In Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And in James 2:5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? In Songs of Solomon 6:3, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine, so long as we remain faithful. We're told by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He inspired our faith through his life, an example to us. And if we continue to walk in his steps to the end of our course, our faith will be perfected, and we will share the throne at the right hand of God. Well, it's hard to imagine, isn't it? The prospect of such a reward of faith. Yet, dear brethren, it is so promised. 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he's done for you. And in 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a little, make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. We will be made perfect in the first resurrection. However, these trials or sufferings will perfect us in the ability to control self, resist evil, establish our faith and patience, perfect our characters, and settle us to abide in his rest and in hope through his word of promise. In Colossians 2:6-8, we read, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. As we have received an understanding of the truth, we are to walk in its precepts, rooted in faith with a deep knowledge of the divine plan, so the growth of our characters can yield the rich fruits of the Holy Spirit. This will establish our faith in the rich promises of God, so that no wind of doctrine will overturn this precious faith. Keep yourself close to the Lord and continue in his love and mercy. Jude 1:21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And in Hebrews 5:9. And be made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. The suffering of Christ completed his crystallization of character, and thus he became the author of our faith and of our salvation. If it took suffering to perfect or complete the character of our Lord, should we not expect the same to finish our character and our faith? Philippians 3:9-10. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We are told by the Apostle Paul again in 1 Timothy 6:12 to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. How necessary is faith to the attainment of our goal and to our walk. In James 1:5-8, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Ask in faith, not wavering, not hesitating. It would be impossible to overcome without being strong in the faith. Growth in the faith is vital. If we pray sincerely for our faith to increase and use all our means to the best of our abilities. Seek to know His Word clearly. Seek His will and obey it. Seek and enjoy His service. Seek to put on the graces of the Spirit. And if we continue in this attitude, we will go strong in the faith, with the full assurance of faith. We shall never fall, but be given an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And in 1 Peter 1:9-10, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied the grace that should be come unto you. The end of our faith, having full assurance, we will receive the special salvation of our being. That which the prophets searched for, but did not comprehend. But unto you it is given to know and to understand the great promises of exaltation and joint heirship with our Lord, to bless all the families of the earth. To this end, we are to fight the good fight of faith. For whom do we fight? Do we fight for God? Do we fight for Christ? No, we fight for ourselves. Does our Heavenly Father assist us? Absolutely. He helps strengthen and encourages us in the fight, this fight of faith. Against whom do we fight? Do we fight against those who oppose us? Against those who persecute us? Against those who say evil against us? No, we fight against sin. In Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We battle against those three foes, the world, the flesh, and the adversary. And as we battle against the world, we contend with the spirit, its mind, its motives, its ambitions, its honors, against the pride of life and the deceitfulness of riches. We battle against our flesh, the sin within ourselves. We fight against the fleshly tastes and desires, ambitions, hopes, and loves, which have a tendency to degrade us. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself to be a castaway. We battle against Satan. However, being no match for him, we do it indirectly, fighting his influences, leaving the battle to the Lord. Romans 8:31. What shall I say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In the sixth volume of page 183, the pastor comments on this. It says, do we sometimes feel that, although the Lord is for us, Satan and sin and our own weaknesses through the heredity are all against us, seeking to ensnare and stumble us? Let us reflect that the Lord, the Almighty God, being on our side, none of these oppositions need cause us fear or trepidation, for he is abundantly able to carry us through them all. We must battle for ourselves, for our liberty, for our victory over weaknesses. Battle against the spirit of the world and against the delusions and snares of the adversary. We can thank our Heavenly Father for the help of the whole armor, but especially the shield of faith. In Ephesians 6:16, above all, take the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Have trust and confidence in Him who bought us, realizing that He who has begun a good work is fully able and willing to complete it. In Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Only by death can we finish our course, and only by faithfulness to the last can we be acceptable as a more than conqueror. The pastor gives us 5 points along which we must maintain our walk in faith as good soldiers of the cross. 1. Maintain a full consecration of ourselves to his service. 2. Seek and obey his instructions and put on the whole armor of God. 3. Fight against sin in all of its forms. 4. Lay down our lives for the brethren to assist, encourage, uplift, and help in all matters, big or small. And 5. Keep the faith. Trust in the Lord and his care over us. Never forget his willingness to help and his ability to help. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what are the rewards of faith, both present and future? In 1 Corinthians 2:9-10, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them which love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Well, this is a sampling of the rewards of faith in the present time. We enjoy a direct communion with the Heavenly Father, illustrated for us in the Holy of the Tabernacle, the secret place where we can partake of the showbread of truth, enlightened by the golden candlestick and able to offer prayers of thanksgiving upon the golden altar, a sweet savor unto our Heavenly Father, through the merit of our Lord Jesus Christ. We enjoy this fellowship from the time of our acceptance of our consecration to the day of our death, passing through the beyond the second veil into the beauty of our future inheritance of faith as divine beings, the perfected condition of the new creature, represented in the most holy of the tabernacle. Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. This will be an inheritance incorruptible, immortal, life which will never pass away. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Romans 8:35-39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Jesus our Lord. These prospects set before us, which we can see faintly as through a darkened glass with the eye of faith, we can hardly appreciate as natural beings, but still we accept them through faith. Well, now that we are faced with the goal of how do we increase our faith? The disciples desire this very thing. In Luke 17:5, the apostles said unto thee, Lord, increase our faith. Day by day, we need to increase our faith in order to overcome. Without growth, as with a fruit tree, it will wither and die without growth. By what means has the Lord provided for this growth? What are the means to increase our faith? One, prayer. James 1:6, but let him ask in faith. And Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. We are not only to ask for those things which the Heavenly Father is willing to grant, but we must ask in faith, or not at all. Then what are we to do? Matthew 26:41, watch and pray. And Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We are not only to pray, but to watch and pray. Watch for the answers to prayer. And realize the answer may not be along the lines we anticipated. But this too we have to take by faith. Prayer is indispensable. It implies not only a living faith, but a growing faith. Communion with the Lord in prayer brings increased confidence in the Lord's supervision of all of our affairs. Increased faith in all of His exceeding great and precious promise. Increased realization of His dealings with us, past and present. Increased love for the brethren and increased concern for their welfare and spiritual progress. But faith must be followed by watching, for watching represents the works which accompany faith. Without works, our faith loses its vitality, its value, and its very existence. In James 2:17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. What works of faith do we accomplish? Well, mostly within ourselves. We study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. We watch our flesh, that we do not gratify self. We watch to make sure that we are not enticed by the allurements of the world, its ambitions and pleasures. And we watch that we are not deceived by the wily adversary. Remember, prayer represents faith. Watching represents the works which accompany it. John 16:24, hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye will receive, that your joy may be full. When we ask, be sure your motives are good and true, not from a selfish spirit. In James 4:3, we see, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. As our new creature matures and grows, our petition will be mainly and chiefly for spiritual favors. And we should look or watch for the answers to our prayers along natural lines. In Luke 11:9-10, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And in Ephesians 3:20-21, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Our second means is study. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And in 2 Timothy 3:15-17, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. No one can properly be an overcomer unless exercising faith in God and in His promises. In order to exercise faith in God, we must understand not only Him, but his promises and his plan, his divine plan of the ages. This faith will grow in proportion to our understanding. Hence, doctrine and instruction is important to us, not merely for the knowledge, but mainly for the influence this knowledge exercises upon our being, its hopes, its aims, and its conduct. Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law, is my meditation all the day. And in 1 John 3:3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Our third means is repeating and claiming the promises of God. In 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these may be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Remember that having made a covenant with the Lord, these exceeding great and precious promises are ours, and in our hearts and upon our lips we should claim them as our own before the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving. When trials or difficulties arise, we must think on these promises. They belong to us. Trust the Lord implicitly, knowing that Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you will perform it. And in Hebrews 13:15-16, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased. Our fourth means is watching our experiences. How do our experiences increase our faith? Through these experiences and the Lord's providential overruling in our life, we can realize how the Lord has provided the needed strength to overcome or to bear us through our trials, and realize that these experiences would not come to us unless the Heavenly Father did not see a needed lesson and blessing for us. Our November 5th manna says, quote, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near it with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Hebrews 10:21-22. Let us remember that he who has begun a good work changes never. And if our hearts are still in harmony with him, if our faith is still clear and firm with the great atonement, if our consecration is still full and complete, so that we seek not our own wills, but his will to be done in all of our affairs, then we may indeed have a full assurance of faith. Because knowing that God is unchangeable, and knowing that we are still his, still in line with his promises and arrangements, we know that all of his gracious providences are still being exercised on our behalf. This is full assurance of faith, full confidence in the Lord. Hebrews 6:11-12. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. This assurance of hope and faith unto the end of our walk is a guarantee to our attainment by his grace of the kingdom, the prize of our high calling. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And in Psalm 23:6, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. By the way, a fifth means of increasing our faith is our custom of picking a yearly text. Seeing how the Lord's providence works out in our lives, and to make this text a living feature for us throughout the year, to increase our faith as to His personal care over us. Well, if you haven't noticed, I incorporated each one of your texts for the year in this lesson. I had a little difficulty with Brother Taz's, which is his birthday text of February 16th, the same as Brother Russell's birthday. So we will conclude with it, as we see it fitting here. 2 Corinthians 6:3, giving no offense in anything. That the ministry be not blamed. May the Lord overrule and say anything and add anything said amiss or and add His blessing. Be faithful, full of faith. The Lord has blessing.